going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've got to run to keep running, and I'm bound to keep on riding. I got one more silver dollar, but I'm not gonna let them catch me, no. Not gonna let them catch the Midnight Rider.
Mick Monagle here with you. How about this? We start the week off with a Monday Midnight Ride as I got you for 5 hours until the warm-up show at 5 a.m. 888-808-1019. We got Fleegs on the other side. Connor Green still hanging around. And that's right. Big time Monday. Let's start with the Knicks. We'll get to the baseball. We'll get to the reaction a little bit to the back end of the draft and everything that went with Shedeur Sanders. But we start with the New York Knicks, 94-93, taking a gutty, gritty, tough, all the things we worried about, kind of win in game four of the series and take a 3-1 lead. But let's have a little Christopher Nolan here, maybe a little Quentin Tarantino, and we'll start at the end, if you get my drift. Because yes, oh, the foul non-call heard around the world as the New York Knicks do win 94-93, and yes, there's a controversial call at the end of the game with Tim Hardaway Jr. getting a rolling ball off the rebound, shot up in the corner three. And yes, is he fouled? Absolutely. Under normal circumstances, in a normal game, that is a foul. The refs have already come out and acknowledged that at the end of the game, that was a foul. But I'm sorry. I have a real tough problem listening to the Pistons and listening to that coach and listening to that team and listening to anybody else who watched that basketball game have a problem with a non-call. Because if you watch this basketball game, there was a point in this game where I honestly thought that fouls were allowed. I know we harken back to the 1990s and we want basketball more physical and we complain about the lack of defense and effort in the NBA, especially all you college basketball fans who come out of the woodwork in March and tell me this is the best brand of basketball that's ever been played, blah, blah, blah. Right? We want it more physical. We want this. We want this intensity. I get it. But this Detroit Pistons team that has referenced the bad boys of the, you know, late 80s, early 90s, they came out in the third quarter specifically, as the Knicks jump out to this early lead, getting, you know, the better of the play, and really their intensity level was far better in these two games in Detroit than it was at the Garden. Right, there's just no doubt. The Knicks came out with a much more intense physical attitude and just after loose balls, getting after it on the boards, far better than they did in the first two games in New York. And they get off to this good run. Everything's going great. right? They're playing well. The Pistons can't hit a damn shot. They get on a run and cut it down to 7 from 16. There's a sequence where Jalen Brunson misses a layup and they go on a big run and turn a 16-point Knick lead into only a 7-point Knick lead heading into the half. And I got to tell you, I wasn't thrilled with that, because when you talk about how poorly the Pistons played offensively in that first half, missing everything, and that was probably the most dominant stretch of basketball for the Knicks we have seen almost this entire series. And to only have it lead to a 7-point lead at the half was troubling. But they come out in the third quarter, right? And we could talk about the lack of intensity from the Knicks and missed shots from the Knicks, absolutely. But this team, like I said, the Pistons team that wants to harken back to the Bad Boys, it was almost like everybody on the Knicks had the Jordan rules and the refs weren't calling anything. Anytime, any Knick player. And I'm not trying to, if they lost this game, I wasn't going to come out and use the fouls as an excuse. I wasn't going to come out and say, oh my God, the third quarter, obviously Brunson goes down to the injury and comes back Willis Reed style and leads the team in the fourth quarter. I wasn't going to necessarily say, oh, the Knicks lost because the refs didn't call anything. You know, that wasn't going to be my excuse. But if the Pistons or anybody else is going to have a real problem with a non-foul call in this basketball game that we watched yesterday, go back and watch the third quarter, and as the Knicks were blowing that 7-point halftime lead to the point where it got up to 10 points in the fourth quarter for the Pistons, watch that game and tell me every single time that a New York Knick, whether it be Karl Anthony Towns, whether it be OG Anunoby, whether it be Bridges, it didn't matter. If you took the ball to the rim, you were getting mugged and there was going to be no whistle. Plain and simple. And that's fine. You want to officiate like that? And I don't think it was a great discrepancy. I don't think the Pistons were getting foul calls. And, you know, the coach at the end of the game complaining about how many foul shots Kate Cunningham took. Like, it's a joke to me. Like, I'm fine with how the game's officiated. I thought it was a bit overdone. I thought that they should have called some fouls, but I thought it was fair for both teams. I had no issue with it. If the Knicks would have ended up losing that game, I wouldn't have blamed the refereeing. Like, this is how the game was officiated. So the idea that you have a major problem with slight contact, that under normal circumstance, for your NBA fan who's watched games all year, watched games over the last 4 years, sure, that is a foul. But you watch the way this game was played. You watch the third quarter where Karl Anthony Towns wasn't allowed to lift the ball past his chest without getting absolutely mugged on every single possession. And we're going to complain about a no-call to decide the game with half a second left? You think it's better for the NBA. You think it's better for the fairness of this league. You think it's better for the injustice of what was going on in this game, in that situation, to put the game on a ticky-tack foul on the line with a chance to hit two out of three free throws to win a game? You think that would have been better served? You think that's what was deserved after watching that game? You would have come away from watching that basketball game and having Hardaway Jr. have three foul shots to win the game off of that call, and that would have been a better, more fair, more justful ending to that basketball game? You're nuts. You are crazy if you think that would have served the league better, would have been more fair, would have been a more just ending, and would have told the story of that basketball game better if it ended with foul shots at the line off of that miracle shot at the end of the game, off of a missed rebound and a ball that rolled to his feet. If you think they were better off served ending the game on a whistle and three foul shots, the way that game was officiated, I think you are insane. Forget the Knicks. Forget anything else. I firmly believe I would be saying this if it went the other way. There is no way in hell, after allowing the mug fest that was allowed to go on that entire afternoon, to end it on that foul would have been asinine. It would have been crazy. It would have been a complete departure from what we saw the entire game. And I think the Knicks would have had more of a gripe had that foul been called. Whether it was a foul or not, the Knicks would have had more of a gripe with this game if that foul was called than the Pistons do now that it wasn't. And I don't know how to see it any other way. So let's just end that controversy. The exact no call should have been made. The end of the game was handled exactly as it should have been when you take into account the rest of the way the entire game was officiated. Absolute nonsense. Now, let's get to what we actually saw from this Knick team. This Knick team that I got to tell you, we have questioned. We know Brunson. We know Brunson's tough. We know he's the clutch player of the year. We know he came back after, I mean, forget this game. I mean, the series are the future of this team. Your heart is in your throat as you watch him, especially, I don't remember if they showed it initially, but you come back from break, you know he walked off, but they show the him trying to get up and immediately going back down the second he attempts to put weight on that ankle. And you think, oh my goodness, this game is over. And then you see the way it's played without Brunson on the floor. Now, I know it takes some adjusting, and maybe the Knicks would have rebounded at any point, or still, if they didn't have him the rest of the series, could they get past the Pistons? Probably not, but maybe. But to see him go off the court, come back in, and then play the way he played and hit the shots he hit and getting to the basket the way he got to the basket and taking the contact. Yeah, I mean, listen, does he throw his head back a bit much? Yes. Is he the only player in the NBA who does it? No. But still, the amount of contact he takes in this series.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
For him to come back off of not being able to stand up, to come back into this game and lead them down the stretch like that was remarkable. We knew about him. We know he's tough. We know what he's capable in the moments at the end of this game. We know what he's capable of when his team needs him at the end of these games. But we have talked so much comparing this team to last year's team, the makeup of the, I can't tell you how many Knick calls I have taken over the last few weeks. This team's not as good. That Knick team last year would have swept this Knick team. There's no intensity. There's no fire. There's no toughness. There's no attitude. Karl Anthony Towns is invisible. Well, the rest of this team in this win right here, it doesn't prove anything. It doesn't mean they're going to go out and beat the Celtics. It doesn't mean they're capable of, you know, beating everyone and winning an NBA championship. But you watch this game. That is a tough, gritty win. And it wasn't just Brunson. Obviously, it was Karl Anthony Towns as well, who played and hit shots. I mean, that fadeaway jumper, that Patrick Ewing-esque baseline fadeaway jumper where it felt like he was shooting it from behind the backboard, to have that be nothing but net in that moment. The difficult shots Karl Anthony Towns hit down the stretch of this game. His ability to play defense when obviously Mitchell Robinson was compromised and only played 9 minutes in this game. From early on, the Pistons had really a tough time getting baskets. The way he helped defend, the way he helped the flow of the offense, and then the way he hit clutch shot after clutch shot, going at them physically, continuing to attempt to get to the basket. Now, could they have been better at that? Sure. Did I think there was a couple times OG Anunoby and Hart specifically go up when you know there are no calls to be had in this game, and you're getting block shot after foul non-called? Maybe don't go up when there's three people around you expecting it's a normal game in November because they're not calling the fouls. But Karl Anthony Towns continued to show you how tough he was. He was there for all of it. He does not back away from anyone. He is in the Pistons' face. They have decided to play a extremely physical brand of basketball, and they are all over the Knicks at every moment. And this Knick team has not backed down for a second. Has it always been crisp basketball? No. Have they blown leads here? Have there been issues? Should it be easier to win some of these games than it's been against the Pistons team that they're better than and more talented than? Sure. But they have not backed away for a second. They have not been intimidated for a moment. And Karl Anthony Towns, to me, unless something changes moving forward, which is always possible, and now with a 3-1 lead, you expect to win the series and move on to Boston, who took a 3-1 lead earlier today as well, or earlier yesterday as well. So he's got opportunities to disappoint me. But Karl Anthony Towns, for me, We talk so much about what you do elsewhere doesn't matter. All that matters is in New York, as we talk about the Yankees closer and specifics. And we'll get to that later, obviously, at 888-808-1019. But so much is made about, I don't care what you did there. I don't care what you did there. It's all about what you do for me now. I know he had a disappointing game, too. But Karl Anthony Towns in this series, to me, has completely eradicated the moniker of soft. He does not look soft to me at all. Does he have weaknesses in his game? Is he the defender I would like him to be? No. Is he the perfect superstar? No. But man, oh man, if he isn't in their face, if he is not as tough as anybody else in the series, and if he hasn't hit tough shot after tough shot, my goodness. Any Knicks fan right now who has a problem with the way Karl Anthony Towns has played or has a problem with his toughness or is concerned about him in the big spot, I'm sorry. For me, that's done with. Now, anything can change, and we'll see what happens in the next round, assuming they get there. But man, oh man, Karl Anthony Towns has been playing his ass off outside of the second half of Game 2. And this Knicks team got a gritty, tough, come-from-behind win. They're without Brunson. They don't know when he's coming back. They blew a 16-point lead. It gets to a 10-point deficit in the fourth quarter. And Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns, and let's even give Mikal Bridges some love here, because I think, you know, he's been awful in this series. His three-point shot again. He's 3-for-12 from the field in this game. But he hits two enormous corner threes in this game. Like, when they needed it the most, Bridges came up with two clutch shots. He only gets 8 points, but those two threes were enormous. Same thing with OG Anunoby. Not a great offensive game. You know, the tenacity and the toughness and the physical nature that the Pistons play with leads to a lot of, you know, not being able to hold on to the ball. You know, we've seen that a lot. Balls through the hands for the Pistons as well. I mean, how many turnovers did they have in the first half? The Pistons could not have played worse. I mean, only being up seven felt really bad about the way that first half was played and the idea that the Knicks were only up seven. They're up 16. I believe it was 16. Brunson's going in for a layup to make it 18. The layup just rolls out, and then they go on a run to end that first half, and it's only 7 points. Now, when they turn the ball over like crazy, they could hardly hit a shot. Their offense was as bad as it's been, and the Knicks should have been far more ahead than only 7 points. And then, obviously, the third quarter, it feels like the refs forgot the whistles in the locker room, and Jalen Brunson leaves with an ankle injury, and you're thinking, well, this game's lost. They're down 7 points. Brunson leaves. They have no real answer. They're not getting any calls getting to the basket. They're not getting to the foul line. They're not hitting their shots. And they don't have their go-to guy. And even if they make it close, how are they getting offense? As they said on the broadcast, you know, Karl Anthony Towns, as great as he's played, is he a kind of guy who consistently down the stretch of the game going to be able to get his own shot and create his own shot without playing the two-man game with Jalen Brunson? We weren't sure. So you're figuring, well, this game is lost. And if he can't play moving forward, this series might be lost. And instead, he comes back like the conquering hero Willis Reed off the bench and completely leads this team along with Karl Anthony Towns, along with Mikal Bridges, back from 10 points down in the fourth quarter to hit big shot after big shot. Karl Anthony Towns with the devastating three to seal the deal. I mean, just an incredible performance from the Knicks. The series has been incredibly entertaining. And I'm sorry, it is absolute garbage for anyone to have major complaints about that foul. Whether or not it was a technical foul, and the NBA has already come out immediately almost. The referees came out and said, yes, looking at it, it should have been a foul. Is it a foul under normal circumstances? You can't cry all game long how much you love this. This is playoff basketball. This is the most physical series I've seen in 5-10 years. It's wonderful to watch. I love the intensity. I love the no calls. Make them earn it. And then you want them to give them the game at the line with less than a second left off of that foul? You think that's how this game should have ended? I think you are out of your mind if you don't think the refs did the exact right thing. Now, if they were going to play the game normal, if they were going to referee the game normal and we were getting normal fouls, sure, that's a foul. He got his man up in the air, Hart, you know, overplayed it. I mean, it's the last second. That shot goes in, you lose, obviously, but he overplays it. Hardaway goes up, recognizes Hart's left the floor, and there's absolutely hip contact. It is a foul under normal circumstances. I don't think even the most staunch Knicks defender, now that the NBA especially has come out and already called it a foul, you watch that replay, under normal circumstances in a normal game, that is a foul. But if you watch this entire series, let alone this game, let alone the third quarter in particular, if you think the best way to end this game would have been to giving Tim Hardaway a foul there and putting him at the line to hit two foul shots to win this game, you think the series should have been decided there or the game should have been decided there, I think you are crazy. Absolutely crazy. So we can complain, we can cry, we can say the Knicks caught a break. Sure, did the Knicks catch a break? Yeah. Watch the entire third quarter. Watch the entire third quarter and tell me every time a Knick went up to the basket, he wasn't completely mugged. And the Pistons too. Pistons were fouled with no foul calls. Absolutely. You can't change the way you've been officiating the entire game. So for me, this is a gutty, tough win. I learned a lot about Karl Anthony Towns. We learned even more about Jalen Brunson, if you can. Even Bridges comes through with big shots. They play defense down the stretch, and they find a way to win 94-93, take a stranglehold on the series, hopefully ending it back at the Garden. 888-808-1019. We got a lot to get to on this five-hour midnight ride. We'll get to the decision made by the Yankees to take Devin Williams out of the closer role. You know how I felt about it? Let me tell you how I feel about it now. Obviously, they win both games of the doubleheader, and the Mets, they are human. He's not a machine. Ivan Drago got cut in the fight. The Mets actually showed a blemish here in this three-game series against the Nationals. We'll talk about how big or not that is, as they are having some real bullpen issues all of a sudden. And, of course, Juan Soto struggling, loses the ball in the sun, continues to really struggle here in the beginning parts of his Met career.